Let us turn again to read from God's Word, turning to the book of Psalms and to chapter 13 in the book of Psalms, page 486 in our Pew Bible. Psalm number 13. And there we have these words of God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I want to say some words this evening on this psalm of David. The 13th psalm in our Psalter, read earlier from Philippians chapter 4. And the first verse that we read there, the Apostle Paul instructs us to rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, I will say it again, rejoice. Well, I'm sure there have been times in your life when it hasn't been hard to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes that's an easy thing for us to do. Sometimes in his goodness, God doesn't make it hard for us to rejoice in the Lord. God is a good God. He is a God who is kind and generous to us again and again and again. He is a God who, as Paul says in Philippians 4, He meets all our needs, and he does so according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And often we can rejoice in the Lord, and we can reflect on how good he is and how good he has been to us. But Paul says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And the always makes it not such an easy thing to do. There are times in our lives when rejoicing is not the thing that we feel like doing. Maybe sometimes we can even think about words like that that Paul uses, and we can try to justify ourselves, and we can maybe even think, well, it's all right for you to write those words, but you're not in my shoes. But then again, if we think about it, we might remember that when Paul wrote those words, he was a prisoner. And those words were written during the 2 years that are covered in Acts 28, when Paul was a prisoner in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. And it's a man in those circumstances that says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul must have had a secret to his spirit of rejoicing. This evening in the psalm that I want to speak on, we're not looking at the words of Paul, but we're looking at the words of David. And David would have been finding it hard to do what Paul tells us we should do. In this psalm, David isn't finding it easy to rejoice in the Lord. The difference between what Paul says there in Philippians 4, verse 4, and what we have here in David's words, particularly at the start of Psalm 13, the differences are not hard to see. Yet, in a sense, David is saying the same thing here in the Old Testament as what Paul says in the New Testament. And the difference is that we can see in this psalm how David gets to the stage of rejoicing, when rejoicing really is not the thing that he has upon his heart. And a psalm that starts full of agony and complaint is a psalm that ends with the words, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." This is a psalm, I think, best divided into three parts. The first two verses, the middle two verses, and the last two verses. And the two verses in the middle are sort of a bridge that leads from the despair of the first two verses to the praise of the last two verses. How do you get from despair to praise? Well, there's something in the middle that gets you there. There is a bridge that takes you from despair to praise. Well, let's think first of all about the words of David here in these first two verses. And here we find him looking to God when things are dark. The psalm begins with a very real sense of the absence of God's favor. David, in the thoughts as he's expressing in these first two verses, he does not feel as if God is on his side. Now, at what stage in his life this was written, we're not told. May have been a time when he's under threat from Saul, may have been a time when his life is under threat from his son Absalom, or it may just have been a bad time in his reign as king. Things didn't always go well when David was reigning as king, and there were times when he would have known the frustrations of being king over the nation of Israel. We don't know when he wrote this, but in these opening two verses, there are four times when he cries out to God, "How long?" And each one of those "how long" cries shows a different aspect of the sorrow, the despair that he was experiencing in his heart at this time. Things were overwhelming him, and he pours his lament out before the Lord. First of all, he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And those words are reminiscent of the words of the Lord Jesus upon the cross when he felt forsaken by his Father. And Jesus was to enter into the kind of things that David expresses here in the opening verses of this psalm. He asks God, "How long is it going to be? How long is this going to go on? How long will I feel as if I am someone that God has forgotten?" God had made promises to David early in his life. David knew that there was a future that God had set out for him. And it seemed as if God had forgotten about David and forgotten about all those promises. And we can have times also in life when it doesn't feel as if God is blessing us. It feels as if God has forgotten about us. It feels as if God is busy doing things in other people's lives and in other parts of the world, but he has forgotten us. Sometimes you might feel you've been doing your best and seeking to obey God, and it feels as if God has forgotten about you, as if your little corner is one that just doesn't matter to him, that there's other more important things that he has to deal with. That's how David felt. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever. And then another how long, he says, how long will you hide your face from me? David had no doubt prayed about his situation many times, but for all of his praying, it really just felt as if God was constantly hiding himself away, almost as if God was looking the other way and not paying attention and didn't want to hear what David had to say. He felt as if God was hiding his face from him. God was avoiding eye contact. David felt that God, it was as if God didn't want to be hearing from David at this time. That's a hard thing that David is feeling, that God is hiding his face from him. The third how long, then, at the start of verse 2, he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? David is asking God, how long am I going to have to go on like this? How long am I going to struggle with these thoughts that are going through my head? How long am I going to have a heart that is filled with sorrow day after day after day? David recognized that the way things were was not the way things should be. And he had to wrestle with his own thoughts. He had to seek to take counsel within his own soul, and he had to struggle against the sorrow, the heaviness that was in his heart each day of life. And that was a battle that he was fighting all the time. Paul in Philippians 4 tells us that we do have to fight that battle in our own heads and in our thoughts. And he tells us that we need to deliberately choose to allow our minds to dwell upon those things that are true, those things that are noble, those things that are right and pure and lovely and admirable, things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy, that those are the things that we need to think about. Well, David really struggled to think about those kind of things, and he just felt a heaviness within his heart, and he wanted to think encouraging and good thoughts, but he couldn't drag it out of himself. He found that what was in his heart was sorrow rather than rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always, God says. David says, I have sorrow in my heart always. So here is a man, and his feeling about life is one that is thoroughly low. And there's a fourth how long at the end of verse 2. He says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? It's bad when, as a Christian, you feel sorrow in your heart. But if you sense that people who are against God and against God's people, that it strengthens their hand when they see the way you are, well, then it makes it even worse for you. You feel that you've let the Lord down. You feel that you've let the side down. And you feel that the enemy are rejoicing because of the way I am. And that's what David was feeling. He knows that his enemies are rejoicing when they see him low. And that made him feel even worse. And he pours out his heart unto God in prayer, as this is the way that life feels unto him. I was reading a few days ago the experience of Moses at the start of the wilderness wanderings. The people had come out of Egypt. They'd spent the most of a year around Mount Sinai, and then the time came for them to set off on their journey through the wilderness. And in Numbers 11, the people complain about their circumstances. They talk foolishly about the great diet that they had in the land of Egypt, and how they had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic and so on. Now all they have is manna. What's on the menu today? Well, it's manna. Same as yesterday, same as the day before. It'll be the same tomorrow. And they were grumbling about having nothing to eat but manna. And in Numbers 11, verse 10, Moses, we're told about the effect that all of this has. Moses hears at every tent, at the door of every tent, this is what he hears. It says, verse 10, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Moses wasn't enjoying life as the leader of God's people at that time. And it says, so Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child, to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. There's a man who's not rejoicing in his position as leader of God's people. It is a burden. It is a misery to him. He doesn't want to be in that position. Everything is overwhelming him, and he just wants God to take him away from that situation. And here in Psalm 13, you have David. And what does he think of his life at that time? It's just, how long, O Lord? How long do I have to continue in this set of circumstances? David doesn't begin his psalm by telling God that he rejoices in the Lord and reflecting on how good God has been. He pours out his heart. He unburdens himself as to what he really honestly feels. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us not to pretend that we're one thing when we're something else. God would want us to be honest in the words that we bring before him. And in the times in our lives when we're struggling, when our hearts are full of sorrow and not rejoicing, well, God would have us tell him that that's how it is. God doesn't mind us asking him, how long, how long, how long? He puts it here in his word, and this is his servant speaking to his master. David is in the dark, and he is crying out to God from the dark. Well, let me move to the middle part of the psalm to consider verses 3 and 4. And this is the bridge that takes us from the despair of these opening verses to the rejoicing in the closing verses. And what we have here in these middle two verses is David praying for light. We're trying to get rid of the light, but David was praying was praying for light. He was conscious that he was like a man stumbling around in the dark, and he cries out to God to enlighten his eyes. He knows that the way he's feeling and the way he's thinking about things, that this isn't really the way it should be, and there's something wrong and there's something missing. And so he prays that God would send him light. And the two important things here are, first of all, that he prays, and secondly, that it's light that he prays for. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." And here's what I want you to do for me. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But the thing he's asking for is enlighten my eyes. He prays for light so that he might see things as they really are and not as how they look to him. He prays that he might be able to see the end from the beginning, as it were, that he might have the knowledge of hindsight before he ever gets to that stage. And he expresses the fears that he has if this doesn't happen. If he doesn't receive this light, well, then he's afraid that he could die without ever getting answers to all these things. He doesn't want to sleep the sleep of death. He's afraid that his enemies will gloat and they will rejoice, and he doesn't want them to do that. He doesn't want them to see him being down and rejoicing over him if he is moved or if he falls. And so he prays that God would send light into his situation. This is what he believes he needs. He believes that he's like a man in the dark, and what he needs is the light of God. He believes that there are things that he is not seeing, that there are vital things that he just can't see because he's in the dark. And so he needs God to consider him, to hear him, and to enlighten his eyes. David grasped that there was something he needed. And he was able to see what it was. And there was something particular that he asked God for. And in his situation, what he needed was God's light to shine into his life. There is always something that we need to be asking God for. Now, in your experience, it may not be light. It may be something else that you really need God to give you. Sometimes what you might really need could be patience. Sometimes that's the thing that we need. And it's not that our burden is an unbearable burden. It's just that we're not exhibiting the patience that we need to exhibit in bearing the burdens that the Lord lays upon us. We naturally want things to move on at a faster pace than sometimes they do move on. Sometimes the thing that we need is patience. In another situation, maybe the thing that we might need is gentleness. Maybe we have to have a spirit of gentleness about us rather than a roughness of spirit. Sometimes the thing we might need is a spirit of forgiveness. That's the thing that will make all the difference to the way we look upon life and its situations. If we have a forgiving spirit, well, then the bitterness within us will disappear. But always there's something that we need to ask God for. And David was able to recognize that he was just like a man in the dark. And what he really needed was God's enlightening of his eyes. And so that's what he prays for. And he asks that God would do that for him. He says, I know I'm not seeing things in the right light. I know that the way I feel isn't a right reflection of what a man of God should be. And so I need you to enlighten my eyes so that I'll have better things to say. And I'll have a better testimony. And my enemies won't be rejoicing over me, but they'll be recognizing that his God is real. God is with him. So David prays for God's enlightening of his eyes. And how was his prayer answered? Well, we have the answer to his prayer in the closing two verses, in verses 5 and 6. And here we have David rejoicing in God's light. Prayer is the bridge that takes you from despair to rejoicing. David got onto that bridge, and he walked along that bridge. And when he comes to the land on the other side, it is very different from how things had been on the side that he had come from. Suddenly, in the closing verses of the psalm, the sun appears and the clouds clear and things look and sound very different. It's a psalm that ends so differently from the way that it begins. It's like being in a different world. It's as if a different person has finished the psalm from the person who begins it. But it's the same man. It's the same man who is saying, how long, O Lord? It's the same man that talks about how bountiful the Lord has been towards him. And instead of the four how longs that you have at the start of the psalm, there are three characteristics of God that David rejoices in. And he praises God for here in verses 5 and 6. First of all, there is his mercy, or his unfailing love. It's a word that has many different good meanings. And David says, but I have trusted in your mercy. David had experienced that merciful, unfailing love of God. And he recognized that that was there all the time. He recognizes that even in his worst moments, that God was still extending his mercy towards him. That God continued to love him even when things were hard for him. Even in the times when he didn't feel as if he was loved by God, God was loving him. God was still being merciful to him. And the Lord, we're told in the scriptures, is like a father, and he disciplines those whom he loves. And David recognizes that the things that he has been going through, these are not evidences of God having abandoned him, but rather God has been merciful to him in the midst of those things. So he rejoices in the unfailing mercy of the Lord. Then he also, he rejoices in the salvation of the Lord. My heart, he says, shall rejoice in your salvation. Now, does he mean salvation from his circumstances? Or does he mean salvation in general, in terms of being saved? Well, if we take it as salvation in terms of David being a saved man, well, then God is bringing back into his thinking and into his sight something that he had forgotten. In the midst of his hardships, everything that seemed to be going so wrong, had he lost sight of the fact that he was a man who was saved by the Lord? Well, here he says that his heart shall rejoice in his salvation. If David had been given the choice of easier circumstances or losing his salvation, or if he had the choice of easier circumstances at the cost of his salvation, he would never have asked for the easier circumstances. He would always have known that his salvation was much, much more precious than anything else in life. And God impressed that thought upon him. The light of God that shone into his life helped him to see that the man who was experiencing these difficulties was a saved man, one who knew the salvation of the Lord. God's word tells us, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And David recognized that his soul was safe with the Lord. And grasping the true value of personal salvation is something that makes a great difference to the way you see everything else. People can be facing up to illness. People can be facing incurable diseases, and they can have hearts that are filled with rejoicing because they know themselves to be those who are saved. And in the midst of that which would destroy others, they can have a heart that is rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. And God shone his light into David's life, and he could see, yes, those things are real, those bad things are real, and that's the way I've been feeling. But look at this. Look at the glory of my salvation. What wonderful things God has done for me. When we see the true value of our salvation, it makes a great difference. And instead of despair, there is rejoicing. And the third thing, he says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. Those words do not seem to tie in with what David says earlier. Someone who feels God has forgotten him, someone who feels God is hiding his face from him, someone who has sorrow in his heart every day and who feels that his enemies are just exulting over him. But he says, the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. David, because of the light that God shines into his experience, he is able to reflect on the goodness of God, the bountiful goodness of God, and how he has dealt with David. And David recognizes that the Lord had been good to him. Life might be difficult. Life might be challenging. There might be things that he just wished he didn't have to face. But the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. God has shown me extreme goodness. And he is reminded of that. And so he says, I am a man who's going to stop complaining to God, and I am a man who is going to sing to the Lord, because my Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Now, for all of us, there are things in our lives that we would wish were different. There are things that we would gladly, no doubt, exchange for something else. There are things that are a trial unto us, that are a burden unto us. But when God opens our eyes to see how good he has been to us, when we understand his mercy and his salvation, then we are able to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we need. We need to turn to the Lord in prayer. We need to ask him that we would see things the way they really are and not just depend on how we feel about things. So there's all the difference in the world between David's attitude, his thoughts and his approach at the end of this psalm, compared with what we have at the beginning of the psalm. And how did that great change take place? It took place by bringing his feelings to the Lord in prayer and asking God to deal with the situation by giving him light. And so in our own lives, in the times when we feel along the lines that David feels at the start of this psalm, then what we need to do is to bring that to the Lord. And tell him you feel as if you're not much of a Christian, because the Bible says we're to rejoice in the Lord always, and I just don't feel like rejoicing at all. And we can bring God what we honestly feel in our hearts. We can tell him the way things look to us, and we can ask him to deal with us in his mercy. And we can remember what we saw not so long ago back in Hebrews 4 about that high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, and the one from whom we can expect to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Here was a man who was in his time of need, and he drew near to the Lord in prayer, and he received mercy, and he found grace, and it really helped him in the midst of his need. So prayer is always the proper reaction to whatever we face in life. Prayer is also the right medicine that we need. As we appeal our case unto the Lord, hope is there to rise within us again. It is only God who can give us the light that we need. It's only God who can change the way we see things. And he is able to remind us of the other things that we need to think about and focus our thoughts upon. And when God sends his light into our lives, well, then things can look very different. And this is a psalm that testifies to that. And so we're encouraged to pour out our hearts to the Lord, to seek him in prayer, and to believe that we too can end up rejoicing, amazed at how good God has been to us, and testifying that the Lord I serve is one who has dealt bountifully with me. Amen.